In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So one day, I expect to be standing before the judgment seat of God, accounting for my numberless sins and failings. And we're going to get to the part where God says to me, "So what do you have to say for yourself?" And I'm going to say, "I taught freshman religion up at the high school." And he's going to say, "No problem. Come on in." That's how challenging it is to teach 15-year-olds religion. They're feisty, they're bright, and they're argumentative. I can remember one day we were dealing with the command, "Thou shalt not kill." Couldn't be clearer, right? But I did have to mention to them there were certain kinds of killings that were permissible under that commandment, which is to say, self-defense, defense of another, national defense, you were permitted to serve in the army, and, legal executions were also permitted under this command. Well, then we had to take on the pacifists, the peaceniks, who else? Oh, the anti-capital punishment people. It took me about 15 minutes to quell all that. But then we had to hear from the vegetarians, who said, "How come animals are permitted to be killed?" Another 5 minutes dealing with that whole issue. We finally got them calmed down. So we got to the part about, under the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," are we positively required to act under, does it impose obligations with respect to the preservation of life? So I rolled out the following example. One day there was a man who did not know how to swim, and he visited the lake. And walking out on the dock to where the part where there's the deep water, he somehow got distracted, and he falls into the water. He starts to drown. You, as a casual observer, happen along and note that hanging on the end of the dock on a post is a life preserver. Do you fall under some obligation to walk down the end of the dock and throw the guy the life preserver? Well, yes or no? Everybody says yes. Please raise your hand. Okay. And he knows. There's always one. What's that? So it's kind of a, so not explicitly, the command says you have to save, doesn't say explicitly you have to save drowning people, but there's a moral obligation. But just like Sherry, I had a hand in the back of the class, shoot up. What is it? And the thread of the argument is, he said, "Listen, I'll go throw this guy a life preserver, but if what we're arguing about here, the principle in force, is that he goes out to visit the lake and he knows he can't swim. But despite that, he's got to walk out on this dock to where the deep water is. Then he allows himself to be distracted and pitches into the lake." And I'm wondering, following your principle, Mr. Carroll, because I wasn't a priest then, following your principle, Mr. Carroll, does that put me in charge of rescuing people who, through their lack of preparation, poor foresight, and outright carelessness and bad decisions, fall in dire straits, a crisis of their own creation? Huh? So what's the answer? How many say yes to that? Raise your hands now. All right. Well, let's get some responses here, because of those of you who are saying no, let me get the no's. How many would say, "No, it's not our obligation. If you fall into dire straits, crisis of your own creation, through lack of preparation, carelessness, or outright bad decisions on your part?" How many say, "No, it's not our job to rescue them"? Everybody's in agreement we should? Let's get those yeses, hands up. Not so many as before. Okay, and here's the tug. that it kind of bothers us somehow. That we as followers of Christ somehow have to go open-ended on this kind of question. The only way we can get to reservations about it is we want to be able to judge. We want to be able to secure a point of judgment before our compassion is invoked. We have to think about it. A few weeks ago, I told you that Jesus was in a synagogue. A lady comes up and she's got some physical problem, scoliosis, she's bent over. He didn't think twice. The compassion is reflexive. It's a quality to be developed without thinking. It's God's mercy comes to everyone. That He looks upon us all with compassion, unreserved and immediate. God, Jesus Christ, did not come among us to save the more distinguished ones of us and to leave the other ones by the wayside. In the book of Leviticus, God tells the people, I invite you to come in possession of the land. Not as owners, because the land belongs to me, but as tenants. And the wealth that is created and given of the land, shall you take care of the poor, the widows, and the orphans? For if not, their cry will come to me as an accusation against you. And in Deuteronomy, thus will I drive you out of the land, as I did the Canaanites before you. That's pretty severe. That's very severe. But as you think about it in our day and in our time, that God knew that we would always have the poor, that we would have people who are needy or disadvantaged, that we would have the sinful. They would be part of us. That they would be part of the body. And I think all of us, we get older, we get aches and pains, we might have a toothache. How long does the body ignore what is hurting? What is crying out for healing? How long does your body ignore that body part? What is forbidden under the law is indifference. That for people to be achingly sick without remedy, direly poor and without means. All these situations have to be okay on some level with other people for them to continue existing each and every day of our lives. We are challenged to overcome indifference and to develop the reflex of compassion every day. That's a challenge. Compassion that flows out of us without a reflex. Let me think about this for a minute. Is this person among the deserving poor? Is this person among the deserving sick? Is this person among the deserving naked? Compassion that flows and flows. It's a tremendous challenge in this gospel to us. Tremendous challenge. It's the challenge to overcome indifference and to open up our lives to a generous and uncritical response. Jesus is not here making a small demand, making a great demand. All that we are, all that we have, in service to God and His kingdom. Amen.